Amen. Thank you very much for leading us in that great, great song. I invite you to take your outlines, grab a pen, and then your scripture, and head to Ephesians chapter 2. We will be active throughout the scriptures today, taking a break for the day from our study in 1 Peter to look at the uniqueness of today. It still rings with the theme of being rock solid. And our title today is Alone is Okay. To get our mind into the Word of God, we read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works that no one may boast. And it doesn't end there, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God ordained in eternity past. Well, what day is today? You land on the calendar, you look at your device, and what do you see? 10/31/21 or 2021. What day is it? As we think through that question and the myriad of answers that are shared with us and that we interact with, today is a day where $10 billion American dollars are spent. It's in a race with Christmas as to the economic impact on our country. Today, $10 billion is spent. And if you were worried, I checked at Walmart yesterday. There is no supply chain problem on sugar. There is no sugar shortage. No shortage of candy. No shortage of creativity when it comes to people thinking about October 31st. And there is no shortage of confusion as people around the globe seek to disguise themselves or seek to identify someone else, the mystery of identities. People have become passionate about pretending to be something or someone that they are not in everyday life. This can be fun. And there's a place for fun. And tonight, on this church campus, there will be fun. On a Sunday, in October, on the 31st. In the fun, in all the activities and options that are out there, all this stuff, all the opportunities, all the options, challenge us very practically to think about some key life questions. Let me give to you a couple of those questions to you. And a blank or two to fill out. Question number one. What is most important? What is most important? Number two. What is my identity? Who am I? Who am I really on Tuesday, on Thursday, at home, in the office, out in the community, around church people? What's most important? What is my true, honest, real identity? Today is Halloween, October 31st, 2021, and it's on a Sunday. Today is also Reformation Day. On this day in 1517, a German monk, Martin Luther, propelled the Protestant Reformation forward as he publicly challenged a medieval church hierarchy that was out of touch with the common people and out of touch with the Word of God. Dangerous, dangerous combination. Luther and the other reformers challenged a religious status quo that was missing the mark biblically. What the hierarchy, what religion championed was all authority was in Rome, in the Pope, in a system that told people what to believe, that continually altered their theology and the practices, left the people confused and really without hope. The Protestant Reformation is a historical reality, a historical fact, and a blessing to this church and to each of us today. The reformers were not perfect. Some of their imperfections, missteps, mistakes were glaring. But they have provided a great, great impact on our lives today. As we celebrate everything else, we must not forget what is most important, what challenges me, what challenges you about our deepest identity. Where we're at today, where we can be and ought to be in the weeks ahead. We identify with the reformers who remind us that the Bible clearly teaches us about the key life questions and answers those life questions. You know, the reformers stressed a number of things. We often refer to them as the solas, and we're going to look at them this morning, a Latin word that means alone. If we could boil down the message of the Reformation, sola scriptura, the ultimate authority of the church is in scripture alone, not scripture and church tradition or church leaders. Sola grace, the unmerited favor of God is granted by grace alone as a gift for the guilty, not a reward for the righteous. Sola Christ, Christ alone, salvation was accomplished by Christ alone through his substitutionary work, his substitutionary death on the cross. Sola faith, salvation is applied to man by faith alone, apart from any human merit. And sola glory, all God's operation, all God's work, ultimately is for his glory alone. Let's dig into this. A key dividing issue between what we think of the reformers and the movement that we identify that goes back all the way to the teachings of Christ, that are rooted in the teachings of Christ, versus the medieval church movement. The key question, how can sinful men find acceptance with God? How can we as sinners connect, reconnect with God? It really comes down to two options. And this is what distinguished and divided those groups. Option number one, it is Jesus and. That was the church's teaching, Jesus and our traditions, Jesus and following all kinds of sacraments, Jesus and giving, doing, being. That's option number one. Option number two is Jesus alone. It's Jesus and, or it's Jesus alone. They both cannot be right. Let's see what the scriptures teach us clearly on this subject, how it connects to our life, how it helps our life. You read through the Bible, and what we learn, what we discover, is that Jesus alone is the only key that opens the door to a meaningful life. Jesus alone is the only key that unlocks the door, that opens the door to a meaningful life. Would you like a meaningful life? No, I just want to trash it all. All of us want a meaningful life for this earth and for eternity. Here's the key, Jesus Christ. Christ alone. The driving thought for today, our best identity is in being alone together with the God of the Bible. Alone together, you say, that fights against each other. Exactly. But here's the deep and wide truths of the Word of God. We find our rest, we find our peace in God alone. And in God alone, my life connects with God, and I'm never alone. And you will never be alone for the rest of your life. Five alone essentials. Clearly taught in the Word of God, they mark us out as Christ followers. Essential number one, Scripture alone. When we think Scripture, we think deep, deep, deep foundation. Solid depth for my life. Let me connect several scriptures, reference them for you this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All of Scripture is inspired by God. That word inspired in the language that it was written in means breathed out. We often think of breathed in, it's breathed out. The Bible in front of you is the breathed out breath, heart of God. In 2 Peter 1:21, so 2 Timothy talks about the product, the breathed out word of God. 2 Peter 1:21 tells us about the process. Men were moved by the Spirit of God, so they wrote down precisely what he wanted them to write down, still using the personality of the writer, reflecting the personality of the writer. But the process, the Spirit of God moved men to write down what he wanted them to write down. Now come with me, please, to the book of Psalms. Right kind of in the middle of your Bible, the book of Psalms, the 19th Psalm. And let's talk about purity or power. 2 Timothy 3 tells us about the product of the Word of God. 2 Peter talks about the process of how we got the Word of God. Join me in Psalm 19. Listen to verse 7 and following. What it says about the Word of God, the Bible. The law of the Lord is perfect. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure or sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold. Yes, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than the honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. And that suggests ignoring the Bible, going against the Bible, disobeying what I read in Scripture, there are dire consequences. The 19th Psalm talks about the purity of God's Word and the power of God's Word to make an eternal difference and an everyday difference in your life. And 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about the point of the Bible and the passion of the Bible. Be zealous to show yourself to God as an approved workman that is never ashamed. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. And when God speaks, he always speaks without error. Always without error. When it talks about history, it's accurate. When it talks about science, it's accurate. When it talks about theology, it's accurate. You can trust the Bible. You can trust God's book more than you can trust any other book that's ever been written, because it is the breath of God. And to attack it, to seek to discredit it, is an attack on the character of God. When the Bible speaks, God speaks. He always speaks without error. It reminds me the Bible is not on trial. I am in trial, on trial. Every man is on trial. We don't judge the book judges us. When it judges us, it points out that I'm guilty. It also paints the pathway for that guilt to be removed and taken care of, and we're going to touch that over the next couple of minutes. This book reads me. Just a few more thoughts on Scripture alone, and then we'll head to a couple of the other essentials. The Reformers gave us three gifts. Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, John Knox gave us all today three gifts. Number one has to do with authority. A reminder, a refreshment of authority. Authority does not rest in a man. It does not rest in an office. It rests in God and his word. Authority. And they challenged us back to biblical authority. Another gift of the Reformers was architecture, church architecture. As you look up here this morning, you see a difference that the Reformers made. Back in the Dark Ages, medieval ages, that period of time, you walked into a church, you would find a pulpit, a lectern off to the side. At the heart and the center of that cathedral, that church, was a table on which the priest, the clergy, would go through a Lord's Supper communion process. That was the heart and so a mass, a heart and soul of the celebration. It was given in a language that the common people out there could not understand. They couldn't understand what the priest was saying because it was in Latin and they did not speak Latin. He read from a book and they didn't know what was going on because they didn't have a book. In fact, if you had a book, your life was endangered. And if you shared that book with others, your life would be taken. And as we think about the persecuted Christians around the world next week, we are reminded of faithful men and women and children who were persecuted for simply offering you what's on that table before you or the chair next to you this morning, a copy of the Bible. Rome said, we don't want you to have the Bible, and we're not going to speak in a language you can understand. The reformers helped move the pulpit back to the center of activity and the exposition of God's word. And in the exposition of God's word, they also gave us one more gift, the availability of God's word. And many of those reformers were translators, and they translated scripture into the common language with the driving target that everybody in the country would have their own scripture, be able to read the scripture so they could understand the scripture. As we think of some areas that you can work on application and practical connection this week, some active thinking and some active learning. If you have your Bible there, take a look at it and or grab one that's available for you. I'm just going to invite you to stand for a second. Do not think the service is over. I'm just getting going. But just stand for a second. If you can. And stand there with a Bible or next to one. And in a sense, just tune me out for a second. Look at your scripture. Just look at it and listen to these words. These two notes of application. The book that you're holding in your hands drips the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, figuratively. It is the message that Christ shed his blood to cover your sins. That's the heart of the Bible. We're also reminded that this book in our hands drips the blood of martyrs, men, women, and children who simply translated it into your mother tongue, printed it, and tried to distribute it to it, and it cost them their lives. We need to appreciate the heritage and the legacy, the investment that has been given to us today. And we are reminded that that book in our hands is a love letter from heaven that we can read, that we can understand. You can understand it alone, and you can understand it together. Have a seat and let's look at essential 2, 3, and 4. I'm going to combine those for just a little bit or for today. My best identity is being alone together with the God of the Bible. 5 alone essentials. Essential number 1, scripture alone. Now let's combine 2, 3, and 4 together in a sense. 2, 3, and 4, and as we think of essential 2, 3, and 4, we think wide wide walls. Scripture alone takes us deep, a deep foundation. When we think of the next three essentials, think wide, wide walls that give us a sizable dimension for life. When we think of these walls, think of Montana. Have you ever been to Montana? We drove through Montana when we moved here, and the Clarks and I, and Kim and I and John, we were driving through Montana. Montana is like 600 miles long. What's really cool is it's an 80 mile per hour speed limit. Now, when you're driving a U-Haul truck, it takes you about a third of the state to get up to 80. But when you get there, for like over a day, you're going to be at 80 miles an hour just flying along, seeing wide, wide, wide Montana. The sky is beautiful, the foliage amazing. It's like you could just keep going and going and going forever. That just gives us a little picture of the beauty, of the depth and the breadth of the next three essentials. Number one, grace alone, by God's grace alone. That's essential number two. Essential number three is faith alone, through faith alone. And then essential number four, in Christ alone. I want to bring those all together and look at them all together. They all connect around the central core of salvation and peace with God. By God's grace. Grace is the gift of heaven through faith in Christ alone. Takes us back to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By grace we're saved through faith. Nothing we can work up. It is a gift of God in Christ alone. When you think of grace, you can write down these two words, God's favor. We talk a lot today, and it's a really good thing, about living in grace. It's all about grace. But we need to understand what grace truly is. It's God's favor that I never have earned and never can earn. And faith alone reminds us there's nothing we bring to our salvation except our brokenness that drives us to repentance. Grace is God's favor. Faith is never earned. Christ is the gift, and Christ is the key to peace with God today and forever. The whole story of Scripture shouts, declares this truth, that God paid the full price of our sin through his son Jesus. That calls us to actively engage in what he teaches through the Word of God. It reminds us that in Christ alone, our hope is found. That last stanza that we sang a few minutes ago, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of heaven, no power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. As we think of essential 2, 3, and 4, by God's grace alone, in faith alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, if you had any doubts about it, let me give you this testimony from the Word of God. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus publicly, clearly declared that he alone is the way to God. In Acts 4, verse 12, Peter gives us these words. There's salvation in no one else than in the name of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. We read these words from Paul the Apostle. Galatians 2, verse 16. We may be justified by faith in Christ. We are not justified by the works of the law. By the works of the law, no flesh is justified. We believe in Christ Jesus. The words of John, or the words of Jesus, the words of Peter, the words of Paul. Christ alone, Christ alone, Christ alone. In 1 Timothy 2:5, says we have one mediator. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, the reformers gave us 5 key life essentials. We've hit 4 of them. We look at one more and we end with this one. Essential number 5, God's glory alone. We are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for God's glory alone. Ephesians 2, verse 10, we will look at in just a moment. But as we think of glory, we've looked at deep foundation. We've looked at wide, wide walls. What do we have left for a building? Got the foundation. We've got the walls. If anybody ever asks you, they volunteer to build you a house and they ask you, how big do you want it to be? What would you say? Well, what can I afford? What are you willing to give me? You think of those wide walls, God's grace, God's mercy, all the heavenly resources available to us. That's pretty amazing, but one last thing. We've got the foundation. We've got the walls. How about we look up? We look up as we think of essential number 5 for God's glory alone. Think open roof, roofless roof, open ceiling that ends only in heaven. With God. That's what you have to look forward to. That's also what we live for every day. Think supreme direction for my life. I'm reminded that everything I do, everything we do, you do, is to point and to reflect the majesty of Almighty God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. What does all mean? It touches everything, right? Let me step out on a limb here about the all. As we think of some of the moral ethics, sexual ethics of many of the men who occupied the White House over the last 20 years. It's been talked about with all of them, right? And it's easy to criticize and easy to condemn. And it is a concern. But the standard they have is no different than the standard we have, that we all have, and that is a holy life before a holy God. As we think of politicians and some of their financial practices and bank guys and all the Ponzi schemes out there, and we go, what? How could they do that? Where is their ethics? But it also challenges us on the ethics with our finances, how we handle the resources that are available to us, that we are responsible for others. We will give an account to God for everything. 1 Corinthians 10:31 challenges all of us, starting with the body of Christ, to clean it up, to do it right again and again and again. Whatever we do all to the glory of God. We started off in Ephesians. We're going to end in Ephesians this morning. Ephesians 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, the product of what God put together on his work table out in the garage of heaven. He's working on us not to be a trophy on the wall collecting dust, but to be some kind of useful tool, product for him in this world at this time. This reminds all of us there is God work for us to do today. And what I have been wired to do from eternity past, which means nothing I can be proud or arrogant about, he has wired you uniquely in eternity past to make an everyday difference today. There's God work for us to do this week for the glory of Jesus Christ. It challenges us all to be faithful in our assignments, to be actively involved in Christ's passions, to be teachable in spirit. Well, we had two life questions that we started off with this morning. What is most important, and what is my identity? And I leave you with that question and ponder it in your mind. Is your identity rooted in Scripture alone, by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone? And in your aloneness, you're alone with the body of Christ, together being the hands and the feet of Jesus. Is that our identity? Our best identity is being alone together with the God of the Bible. Alone is okay. Alone is awesome. Alone together is the only option. Father, we have opened your word and sought to read it, to dig into it, to explain it. To understand it. We haven't plumbed its depths because it is so deep. We haven't exhausted all the connections. It is so wide, but we've looked at enough to find enough hope, to find enough application and challenge for today, some areas that we need to strengthen and shore up, some successes that we can celebrate a passion to reignite, a life that is to be invested for you. Lord, each of us can have a connection with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. It begins with us understanding and admitting that we're a sinner, embracing the true and only solution, Jesus Christ, accepting his grace through our faith, which is a gift of God itself, and committing ourselves to live for the glory of God in the days ahead. Lord, refresh us with your truth. Help us in our struggles. Give us a passion that reflects the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Spirit, and yourself. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand with us as we close in singing this morning.